Pembacaan firman pada hari ini akan terambil dari kitab Yohanes pasal yang ke-21 ayat yang ke-1 dan 19. Silakan yang dewasa untuk dapat membuka kitabnya masing-masing karena saya akan membacakannya di dalam bahasa Inggris. Scripture reading from today is from John 21:1-19. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of the Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. That's the word of God.
picture there. So how's everybody doing? Music was great, guys. Awesome, awesome. It worked wonder in our worship setting at the family worship that we have today. And I'd like to talk about a special topic about, you know, the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. So do you have did you push the laptop button? Oh, that's weird. Let me unplug it. And plug it back in. Hope it works. Here you go. Apparently my computer, not the guy in the back. It's called How Deep Is Your Love. How many of you grew up with this song in mind? Oh, okay. It's BG song, right? BG song. It's, I grew up with this, and to me, Bee Gees is kind of a funny, you know, funny group of people. It's a bunch of guys with a beard, right? But they sounded like little girls. How deep is your love? They use a lot of falsetto, right? So, but I'm not going to talk about Bee Gees today. So I'm going to talk about the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. So after Jesus resurrected, after Jesus was raised from his dead, he went around and he appeared to all his disciples. You know, in several occasions, and probably you're familiar with the story of his appearance to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, right? And this is according to the Gospel of John, the third appearance that Jesus did to his disciples. It seems like Jesus wanted to affirm all his disciples and his people that I'm alive and well. Don't be afraid. I know you're anxious that you probably thought that you're losing me, but no, I'm here. I'm alive and well. So bear with me. Hang on to life, right?
There's hope at the end of the tunnel. So that's, I think, why Jesus had to appear to all his people. So the story started with this. It was early morning by the Sea of Galilee. It's called Tiberias from the Bible. It's the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was hungry, right? And think about it. All his disciples, Simon Peter, John, and several others, went to catch fish. But what happened? Did they catch anything? No, they caught nothing. Probably they came back to by the shore, and they're just tired, and they just wanted to rest. And here comes Jesus, walking on the shore, like nothing happened, right? And then asked this disciple, this weary disciple, hey, do you have any fish for me to eat? And the Bible said what? They did not recognize him at first. They did not even know that was Jesus, right? So probably these disciples thought, who are this strange person asking for fish? And of course they said, no, we don't have fish. Oh, you know what? And Jesus continued, why don't you go all the way there and cast your nets on this part of the sea? Again, probably his disciples thought, this is a strange dude. I did not know this guy, and he asked for food, and we said we don't have any food, and he told us to go catch our food, a food for him. Whoa. But of course, his disciples didn't say anything, good thing, right? They just obey. Okay. You told us so, to go catch fish, we'll do it. So they went, and what happened? They caught a lot of fish until their nets were so heavy they could not haul it back to the shore. And suddenly their eyes were open. Their eyes were open, and they thought, oh, this is my man. This is our master, Jesus. And from the boat, Simon Peter, John, the disciple that was so loved by Jesus, told Simon, hey, that's our Lord. That's our master. Let's go. And Simon Peter couldn't hardly wait and just wrapped something on. Probably he was wearing his speedo, and he just wrapped his rope and just ran to meet Jesus. Right? So, there, Jesus, master. And they found Jesus sitting by the Sea of Galilee. What was he doing? He's grilling fish, making a grilled sandwich, right? Grilled fish sandwich there. And he said to all his people, all his disciples, hey, come on down. Eat with me. Eat with me. I don't know, you know, it seemed like Jesus, after his resurrection, he loved to eat. I'm not going to talk about his, you know, his eating frenzy after the resurrection. You know, in Emmaus, he talked about food and his appearance to other disciples. He asked for food as well, but we're going to talk about the conversation that Jesus had with Simon Peter. So Simon Peter, after breakfast, Simon and John had this deep conversation. And Jesus asked Peter, what did he ask? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You know, when I read this scripture, I felt like, this is kind of awkward, right? I never asked this question to my own brother. Hey, Christian, do you love me? Have you ever asked that to your own brother or sister? No, right? It's kind of awkward. I never asked that to my brother Alvin, too. Alvin, do you love me? No. Have you ever asked that to your sister there, Kyle? Yeah. Ask him now. Ask her now. Oh, yeah, here you go. Give him a smooch. So it's kind of weird, right? But the more I think about it, I think you have to see it in the perspective of a master to his disciples, or a parent to his children. I ask this sometimes to Viola or Baron. Hey, Viola, do you love me? Do you love Poppy? You know, or I ask Baron, do you love me? Do you love Poppy, Baron? And good God, right? Thank God that they said yes at, you know, at all times, at this point, you know? You don't know when it's going to change, right? So, but this has something to do with this. The caption in the Bible, if you read it, is called Jesus Reinstates Peter. So this conversation has something to do with what Simon Peter had done in the past. You remember how many of you remember that Peter betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus? You remember that story? Okay, Sunday school kids, you remember that story, right? So Peter denied Jesus three times when Jesus was on trial. So Peter was asked by people around him at that night when Jesus was on trial, and then he was asked, do you know this Jesus? Do you know this man? And Peter got freaked out. No, I don't know him. I have nothing to do with this guy. And he did it three times. And that's why Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? It seems like Jesus wants to have a confirmation whether Simon Peter really, truly loves him. So, if you know a little bit of Greek, you probably know that that Greek have four different words to talk about love. And the English translates these four words into one word only, love. Okay, but we're not going to talk four of them. We're going to talk three of them. It's called eros, philos, and say it. Agape. Let's do it. Say it one more time. Eros, philos, and agape. Okay? So it comes in rank, kind of in order. Okay? So eros is the lowest of all kind of form of love. Eros, but okay, English is limited in this way, so all of these three are translated into English with one word, love, right? So eros is the lowest rank. There's a word in English that describes it. It's called erotic. Erotic, okay? So it's kind of like a selfish love. Selfish love. It cares to pleasure themselves, okay? So it's the lowest selfish, egocentric, looking for their own satisfaction, okay? That's eros. The second rank of this love, of the love, according to the Greek people, is philos. Philos is, it's a little better than eros, but still a second rank. Okay? So philos is a brotherhood love, or kind of like a friendship love. So I love Yoad. I love Nogi. It's a brotherhood, a sisterhood. Oh, I'm not your sister. Okay, it's kind of a friendship love, okay? So it's better than Eros, so it's directed to others. Okay, there's a philos, that's why we get the word philosophy, love of wisdom, or philanthropy, where, you know, love of human, or the city, the great city, Philadelphia. Here you go, that's philos. Now you understand a little bit of Greek, right? At least today you got to have go home with three more Greek words in your head, right? So this is the thing about Eros and Philos. They're both are conditional love. Everything is conditional. So it's kind of, I would say it's a because kind of love. I love you because you are handsome. I love you because you're sexy, attractive. I love you because you do something for me. You give me a lot of money. You give me new cell phone, mommy. I love you because you give me new piano. I love you because you're this, that. Okay? Because it's very conditional. If you don't give me anything, then Eros and Philos, I'm not going to give you anything. It's very conditional, okay? I love you because. But the third and the highest level of love is called? Agape. Agape is the highest form. It's unconditional. I would call it an even though kind of love. Even though you are ugly, even though you are a bad person, you've done a lot of terrible things to me, you betrayed me, even though you denied me, I'm just going to love you anyhow, anyway, right? That is agape. This is the highest level. Very unconditional, no matter what happened, good or bad, you're handsome or not handsome, attractive or not attractive, have a lot of money or not having a lot of money, I still love you. And this is the kind of love that only one person has. Who? Jesus. Or our God. Okay, God, this kind of love is selfless and pure. It's very other-directed. So you have these three in mind, right? So in the conversation, during the conversation, Jesus asked the first time to Peter this, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the word that Jesus used is, do you agape me? So Simon, son of John, do you love me with unconditional love? And Peter could not bear that to answer, and he answered with this, yes, Lord, you know that I philos you. He could not respond agape with agape. He just went down with philos. I love you like, not like God loves me, but I love you like a brother loves. And the second time, too, Jesus asked Peter, do you agape me? And also, and again, Peter said, I philos you, I love you, with the brotherhood loves. So the third statement, Jesus changed something there. And Jesus started with this, Simon, son of John, do you philos me more than these? He changed. And then Peter said, answered, Lord, you know all things. You know that I philos you. So I came to a question here in my head. Why did Jesus lower his standard of love? Why didn't Jesus force Peter to possess the agape love? He could have said, okay, you know what? You've got to love unconditionally. Why couldn't you love unconditionally? He could have said that, right? But Jesus did not force Peter to have that. So for me, there are two things that happened there. First of all, I think Jesus fully aware of the condition, of the limitation of Simon Peter. He could only give his brotherhood love. And after all he did in the past, when, you know, that night when the trial happened, I think Peter knew full well that he could not love Jesus in the fullness of it. Remember when Peter bragged about his own love, right? He said to Jesus, when Jesus said something about, okay, you know what? Friends, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be tortured, I'm going to be going through a lot of suffering. And then Peter said, no one, Lord! If everybody leaves you, I will stand by you. I'll even go to prison and I will die for you. Remember that? Peter bragged about his ability to love. But after the resurrection, after what he did to Jesus that night, after he denied Jesus three times, he forget it. I'm not able. Apparently, I was not able. I'm not able to love Jesus, my own master, with the fullness of my love. So that's why he insisted, he staked around with Philos. And I think this is the greatness of Jesus Christ. Jesus, with all his grace, said, okay, you know what? Brother Peter, if Philos is all you can give to me, I'll take that. Isn't that so lovely? If you can only love me like you love a brother or a friend, I'll take that love for me. I think when I reflected on that, I thought, wow, this is so beautiful. How Christ willingly lowered that standard and in order to accommodate what we can do to him. But it also brings us to the second aspect of this statement. So this is the thing about the word philos and agape. Apparently in the Bible, it's interchangeable. It's synonymous. Those two words are synonymous and can be used both for the same meaning. You know, in John 3:35, let me give you an example. Now, we switch into a little bit Bible study here, okay? So in John 3:35, the Father loves the Son. Jesus said this to describe his relationship with his Father. And he said this, Father loves the Son, agape, and has placed everything in his hand. In John chapter 5, verse 20, he says almost the same thing, but he's using the word philos. For the Father loves, or philos the Son, and shows him all he does. So apparently there's some kind of confusion, or maybe the word agape and philos are interchangeable, or are very synonymous to each other. And Jesus also described a lot of wickedness of our human heart that's willing to love the world more than we love him. And when he described that, he used the word agape. So apparently the word agape, even though it's for the highest form of love, it can be done and it can be directed for our love toward the fleshly thing or a very worldly thing, our wicked passion, our wicked attraction to the worldly thing can be also described as our love or agape to the world. So apparently there's some interchangeable play here. But I also realize that this is something that Jesus did when he was having a conversation between with Peter, that Jesus gives a new meaning to the philos heart. Philos love. He gives a new meaning. Remember when Jesus, before he was betrayed, when he had a last supper, Jesus said this, no greater love, read it together with me, ready, go. No greater love, agape, than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Philos. So apparently Jesus gives a new meaning to philos. You know what, friends? Philos, even though you have only philos kind of love in your life, that's the love that you can give to God. It can be a very intense kind of love. And of course, Jesus said in the same chapter, John 15, when he called his disciples, I no longer call you a servant. I call you now friends. So what does it mean? A friendship love can work as intense as the agape love. What does it mean to us all? Okay, God, so I think what it means to us all is, even though all we can do is to have a philos kind of love, we can give our best to our Lord. And you know what? Peter showed that. Peter gave evidence to this Philos love when he was going through his ministry. And all of us know, and some of the legends said that Peter died on the cross upside down. You heard about this? Peter gave his life until the end, and he died for loving his master. He died upside down. He said this, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. Let me die upside down." That's why his head is down. So this is the kind of love, even a philos, even a brotherhood or friendship love, can be intensified to have the same intensity of God's love. So friends, this is a thing for us all. The story of, you know, the conversation between Jesus and Peter did not stop there. You know, when Jesus asked Peter, "Okay, do you love me?" And Peter said, "I love you." But of course, Jesus didn't stop. "Okay, oh, you love me? Oh, feel good. All right, thank you. Thank you, Peter. Let's go on. Let's eat breakfast." No, he didn't say that. What is the next statement? "I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
That's right.
"Feed my sheep." It did not stop there. Do something about it. Prove it. If you love me, prove it. If you love me, show evidence. Do something about what you said. Remember that. Talk is cheap. Right? Talk is cheap. We can say, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Yeah, it's a never end. You can say that a million times. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't put something into your word. We can say, "Love you, Lord. I worship you. I love you, Lord. There is none like you." Right? We can say that all day long. But if you don't put any action in that song, in those kind of statements, it doesn't mean anything. The evidence is needed. Feed my And I think that's something for us to think about, to care, to love one another like ever before, like never before. And that is a challenge for all of us. You know what? Let me tell you a little story here. I did not plan this story. You know, it just came to my mind. You know, on Friday night, I called my friend in Indonesia. I have not talked to him for 15 years since I came here. He was one of my best friends, okay? So we went for architecture business together for 5 years, and we joke around all the time, and we just spent a lot of good time together. Good and bad time, of course, right? And then I just, out of the blue, I just thought about this guy. His name is Toto, okay? Toto. So I called Toto, and so, "Hey, well," and we talked about half an hour, and he said something, "Hey, when you go back to Indonesia or Surabaya, just call me and then I'll visit you there, okay?" Because he lives in Manado, okay? So he said, "Okay." And I said, "Okay, what do you do there?" And there's a lot of joking around and stuff like that. And you know what? This morning, I found for my brother's cell phone, my brother texted me that Toto died. This morning, you know, I said to Bonnie, it's just like, I was weeping the entire time. This morning, it was I had the heaviest heart ever. So I felt, man, it's so unreal. So unreal. We had all this plan to get together and maybe share love with one another and do something fun together next year. And he passed this morning. So I thought, man, I wish I could have more time. You know, and it's so natural for a lot of people that, you know, tragedy happened. I should have, could have, would have. I should have spent more time talking to him. I would spend, like, you know, 3 hours talking to him had I known he's going to pass this morning. But it's lame, right? The message for you is this: as long as we have this time to love, as long as we have time to feed God's to love your mom, to love your dad, to love your pastor, to love your brothers and sisters, to love your world, to love God. Spend time. Do something. You never know when your time is up and you will be called. Or someone that you love will be called back home. While you still have the time, show that love. I'm going to close with this cute video. This cute video, you know, I found it on Facebook and it's like, man, it touched my heart. You know, I shed some tears when I watched this video too. So I'm just going to show it to you. It has nothing to do with Jesus and Peter, but it has something to do with how deep is your love. Let's watch it.
Unfortunately, this small Japanese puppet is dull, almost to the point of invisibility. But to compensate, he's probably nature's greatest artist. To grab a female's attention, he creates something that almost defies belief. His only tools are his fins. In his head, a plan of mathematical perfection. He plows the sand, breaking it up into the finest of particles. Shells are just rubbish to be removed. He uses them to decorate the bridges of his construction. He can't rest for more than a moment, but must work 24 hours a day for a week, or the current will destroy his creation. And his masterpiece is complete. Something as complex and perfect as this. If this doesn't get him noticed, nothing will.
Can show the depth of his love to his school friend. How about us? We can certainly learn something from this little creature. He's only 5 inches long, but he can show his depth of his love in a very intense way. Let us pray. Lord, today we learn what it means to love you. And how much you love us as well. And we just ask your blessing, Lord, and ask your strength for us so that we can love you even more dearly, even more deeply in our lives. Just like this little puffer fish that shows his love, we can do something similar, Lord. We can do more wonder through the work of our hands, through the love and the dedication of our hearts, to you, to others, to those in our community. So Lord, help us and remind us of this, the magnitude of the love that we can give to you and to others. While we still have time to love, while we still have time to show it to others. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to love. Amen.